Welcome to Starkville Church of God. This is our podcast. I wanted to thank you for joining us today. I hope this inspires you, strengthens you, and fills you with God's love so you can share with others. Enjoy the message.
Now we start into chapter 2, and as we step into chapter 2 of the book of Ruth, we find that Naomi and Ruth have already made it to Bethlehem, and we're now introduced to a man named Boaz. Verse 1 of chapter 2 tells us that Boaz is a relative or a kinsman of Naomi's late husband, Elimelech. We look at this man Boaz and we find, according to Scripture, that he was a man of standing in that community. He was a man that was respected in the community. Not only that, but we find that he was also a man of wealth. And as we continue on and as we look at this, of course, the entire title of the entire series, The Search for the Redeemer, and the whole concept of the kinsman redeemer, there's a search for a redeemer. It's the story of this world, isn't it? It's the story of humanity, that humanity is in need of a redeemer. And so as we go on in the next few weeks, I don't want to preach too much ahead of myself, but remember these things, that he was a kinsman, that he was a man of standing, a man of wealth. The close of chapter 1 revealed that as Naomi came back into Bethlehem, she told people not to call her Naomi anymore. But she said, instead, call her Mara, which means sorrow or bitter. We also find that Naomi and Ruth's arrival in Bethlehem was at the beginning of the barley harvest. As they show back up in the house of bread, well, for Naomi showing back up, for Ruth, it's her very first time there because she was from Moab. But this was the time of the beginning of the barley harvest. We find that the two widows, of course, by being widows, have no husbands nor sons to provide for them. So in order to eat, they had to go and find some kind of work as they arrived in Bethlehem. Most likely, Naomi was past the age of being able to go and work out in the hot field. So Ruth, the younger daughter-in-law, volunteered in chapter 2 and verse 2. And Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, "Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor." So if you're a note taker, number one, as we start off today, we find that Ruth goes to work. What was Ruth's work? Well, according to Leviticus chapter 19, verses 9 and 10, it says this: "When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Do not go over your vineyard a second time or pick up the grapes that have fallen. Leave them for the poor and the foreigner. I am the Lord your God." And then in Leviticus chapter 23 and verse 22, it says, "When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Leave them for the poor and the foreigner residing among you. I am the Lord your God." So Ruth takes the role of that which she was. She was both a widow and a foreigner that was therefore qualified to gather from the corners and the edges of the field and pick up what was left behind. According to God in the book of Leviticus, this was God's method of benevolence. This was the way that God had them take care of the poor and those that were less fortunate by at harvest time leaving the edges, leaving the corners, not going back over it a second time, but leaving things there for the foreigner and the widow to be able to pick up. Naomi then gives her blessing to Ruth to go out and glean behind anyone in whose eyes I might find favor. So Ruth is like, I'm going to go out. I'm going to pick up. And Naomi says, yes, please, go ahead and do that. I give you my blessing in order to do it. So we might ask the question, why work or be faithful? Well, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 10, it says this, for even when we were with you, we gave you this rule, the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. Now, I know that you're not going to find that on a lot of motivational posts or anything nowadays. You're not going to hear that preached on a lot. But how many of you know that's New Testament? That's the Apostle Paul writing there. He said, whoever is unwilling to work shall not eat. Now, is that saying God is heartless? Absolutely not. I've read to you in the book of Leviticus where God made provisions for those that were in need. But yet God says God's principle has always been that if we are able-bodied, if we are able to, that we should work in order to provide for ourselves. We find that they were both widows, both Ruth and Naomi were widows and had nothing and were in need. According to chapter 1 and the first part of verse 21, Naomi admittedly says this. She said, I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Now, of course, we know that that meant spiritually and emotionally because she had left with a husband, Elimelech, and two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, all three of which were dead. But I believe that it meant both emotionally, I mean, it meant both physically, in every way. Naomi had left Bethlehem full, but she now arrives back empty. Naomi had lost it all. I told you I don't want to get to a message of the gospel. This was pointing to the gospel. God is calling out to those who are empty, those who are destitute, those who have absolutely nothing. He is calling out and saying, you may be empty, you may have lost it all, but there is good news. There is bread in the house of God. There is bread in Bethlehem if you will come to me. Somebody say amen. So we find they could not wait. They couldn't just wait around. They didn't have cash reserves. They didn't have great flocks or herds. I was trying to say flocks and herds at the same time and said hawks. I guess they don't got any hawks either. They didn't have great flocks or herds. They didn't have anything to eat off of, and so Ruth realized that something had to be done quick and took initiative to do it. Unfortunately, so many just sit and wait for somebody to come along and do something for them. I think you've heard me say this before. I'm going to say it again. Please, please, you may have been victimized, but don't sit around being the victim. I believe that that is what God wants to do in all of us. God may find you as a victim, but He wants to make you a victor. You don't need to just sit around thinking about how bad things are or terrible things are. Sometimes you've got to get the initiative to pull yourself up, pick yourself up, and say, I refuse to just sit here in the state I'm in. I may be empty. I may be destitute. I may be a shell of my former self, but I refuse to stay that way. I'm going to get up and do what needs to be done. You see, we need initiative and drive up and do something to get it. You see, that's in the natural, first of all. We've got to be willing. I read to you where Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica, if a man won't work, he shouldn't eat. In the natural, we've got to get some drive behind us. Now, I know today, in that day, there were a lot less different options. I know that your work may be behind a desk. Your work may be on a phone. Your work may be driving a vehicle, may not be out in a field, but whatever it is, God is saying, get some initiative, get some drive behind you, step up and do what needs to be done, and get what you need. But not only in the natural, in the spiritual as well. How many times do people just come into a service and say, well, if they'll just sing my favorite song, I'll get in it. If the pastor would just come by and pray for me. If the evangelist would just call me. me out of my seat and just read my mail, and then God will bless me. No, sir, no, ma'am. God is telling us, if you want it, you need to get up and get it. If you want more of God, you better pick up your Bible. If you want a word, don't wait for an evangelist or a pastor to call you out. You get in the Word. God's got a word for you. If you need more of God, that means get up. Worship Him. Even if it's not your favorite song, worship Him. Get in prayer. Pray to God. Don't worry. Don't wait around for a pastor or evangelist or elder to have to come by, pour some oil over your head. You find yourself on your knees. You find yourself seeking God when you find yourself in need. Somebody say amen. Not picky work. I hesitated to you, but y'all probably will. In the movie Christmas Vacation, the character Cousin Eddie and his wife Catherine were in desperate need of financial assistance. When asked why he couldn't find a job in 7 years, Eddie's wife, Catherine, replied, "He's been holding out for a management position." You see, some people, I know it's funny, I want to give you that in a humorous way, but the bottom line is sometimes that's how people are. They say, "Well, you know, that's probably beneath me." Can I just tell you something? If you're starving, you won't be picky with what you eat. It's quiet. That's all right. I'm going to keep on preaching. When I pastored first time in Illinois in Alton, our church was right on the Beltline. It was a very busy, busy place. We had a daycare, had around 90 to 100 kids in it most of the time. We were in a busy area, and there was a constant flow of traffic, people that would come in. And I would have people come in all the time that would say, "You know, I'm hungry. I need some money. I'm hungry. I'm starving. My kids are starving. We need some money for some food." After a little while, I kind of developed a little system. You see, next door to us was a fast food restaurant. Some of you may have heard of it before, called Jack in the Box. Not Jack's over there by Starf. That's an Alabama chain, but Jack in the Box. If you anybody ever seen a Jack in the Box before, a Jack in the Box, they've got everything from fried tacos to hamburgers to egg rolls. Every bit of it is deep fried and greasy and good if you like that kind of stuff. We had a Jack in the Box that was connected to our church property. When somebody would come in and say, "You know, I'm starving, I need some food. Would you give me some money for some food?" Here's what I started doing. I was like, "All right, I'll tell you what. If you will," I'd get up, "All right, let's go. I got my wallet. There's a Jack in the Box next door. I say, whatever you want to eat, I will buy you." And unfortunately, more times than not, after they just told me they were hungry and starving, they'd be like, well, you know what? I'm needing money." And I'd be like, "All right, never mind." Every once in a while, though, I would have them. And they'd be like, "All right." And I would. I'd take them over there. We'd walk in there to the counter. I'd say, "You order whatever you want. I'm buying it." And most of the time when they would take me up on that, we would end up helping them more. You see, we've got to be willing. If you're starving, you're not going to be picky. You know, Ruth was at a point where she knew her and Naomi would starve to death. And so Ruth humbles herself to go out into the hot, dusty field and do what had to be done in order to survive. Now, this certainly was not a job of prominence, but it was a job of those who are poor and needy. What are we willing to do in the kingdom of God? Do we think that we are too great for some positions in the kingdom of God? Do we feel like that we are above certain positions in the kingdom of God? Or are we willing to say, "Lord, if you want whatever you want to do in me, I will do whatever it is that you ask of me." Number two, if you're taking notes, Ruth found herself working in the field of Boaz. Ruth did not know that the field she went to belonged to Boaz. In the phrase in chapter 2 and verse 3, in the NIV it says, as it turned out. When you look in the Hebrew and begin to dig into that, it means this. It means as far as she was concerned, she got there by accident. In other words, it was not a choice that she knowingly made. She wasn't walking by and saying, hey, that's Boaz's field. That's where I'm going to go. As far as she was concerned, it was just the place where she happened to be. As it turned out, she found herself there. But however, we know that much deeper than that, God does not deal in accidents or in coincidence. You say, Ruth may not have known that that was a field of Boaz, but God knew the whole time who the owner of that field was. He knew the whole time that that field belonged to a kinsman redeemer of Naomi and Ruth. In Romans 8 and 28, it says, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. In Psalm 37, 23 and 24, the scripture says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Child of God, can I remind you today that your steps are ordered by the Lord. There have been times where I thought I just happened to be in a place or happened to end up in a place, but the entire time it was God's mighty hand that was leading me into that place. I believe that there's no such thing as coincidence with God. There's no such thing as happenstance with God. God has a plan for your life and my life, and he will take you and me to the right places and connect you with the right people to bring about his plan in your life. Even when you can't see it, even when you don't realize it, God is guiding your steps. There was significance in Boaz's field. First of all, Boaz, again, was wealthy. Boaz was related to Naomi's late husband, Ruth's late father-in-law, Elimelech. Boaz would in essence be the connection between God and Ruth. Remember, this is an Old Testament perspective, and we find that Boaz was this representation of the kinsman redeemer. You see, God has and will bring the connections that you need. Do you trust God to bring his plan to pass in your life? Can you, along with me, can we sit here and say, I trust that God can bring his plan to pass in my life? And if we do, that means that we should work and be faithful until he brings the right connections and brings his plans to pass. How many of us are like Cousin Eddie and we're waiting on the management position instead of being like Ruth and saying, if I got to get my hands dirty, even if I got to get out in the hot, dusty field and work a job and do something that really isn't glamorous at all and really seems to be beneath me, I'm willing to just get down and get dirty and work and be faithful and know that if I do, God is going to bring his plan to pass in my life. God used Boaz's field along with her faithfulness and humility to connect Ruth to his plan. What field are you in? Are you being faithful and humble in it? Listen, I'm not trying to pat myself on the back in any means, but I just want to say I've been there. I don't want to tell stories over and over again. Sometimes as pastors, when you've been somewhere and getting a little longer, and sometimes the stories repeat themselves, but the bottom line is it's not always the same people sitting in this room. I won't ever forget our first church. I had finished with Lee. I'd gotten my bachelor's degree. Jamie was starting her master's degree, and we had to stay somewhat close so she could finish because we had promised her parents that we agreed that if they would give us their blessing to get married, we would make sure that she finished her master's degree. And so we were committed to that. But I still was ready to pastor. And so I remember Brother Dennis McGuire was the overseer of Tennessee at the time. And he pretty much said, well, I got a church in Maryville, Tennessee. He said, I'll either let you pastor it or I'm going to close the doors. I said, I'll take it. We drove, depending on Sunday mornings, there was less traffic. But on Wednesdays when we went up, it's about an hour and a half drive between Cleveland and Maryville. When we got there, there were more leaks in the roof than there were people in the pews. But one thing that I tried my hardest, listen, I'm not trying to brag. I'm just telling you, I know I got a bunch of faults and a bunch of failures. But I tried my very hardest to just get up and preach to however many people were there like it was a house full. Listen, I'm not trying to act like I've arrived, but I can tell you this, that God has opened doors for me and taken me places and allowed me to do things that I never would have dreamed I would have done. But I believe it's because I've been willing to do whatever He asked me to do and be faithful. I've been blessed to preach in some great places. I've been blessed to preach in some little old country churches. I've been blessed to stand on a flatbed trailer and with a cardboard box as a pulpit and preach. I'm telling you that we've just got to be willing to say, God, whatever it is that you want to use me in, I want to be humble. I want to be faithful to you. You may think it's just an old, dry, dusty field, and that is a completely undesirable thing. But it may be the very place that God is going to connect you to Boaz. Look in the life of Joseph. It turned out he had to be a slave. And then it turned out he had to be a prison. But both of those things did what? Connected him to the palace. Will you be faithful in where God places you? Thirdly and finally, Ruth gets rewarded. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, Scripture tells us this, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that half-heartedly seek Him. No, that diligently seek Him. Ruth went to work to provide for herself and Naomi, and Boaz noticed her, showed favor to her, and rewarded her. You see, Naomi rejoiced when Ruth told her whose field she had been working in. She saw God's hand at work. Can I tell you, sometimes when we don't see it, God will even let other people see how things are going. Have you ever had people tell you that? I have. When something's going on, I feel like nothing's happening, nothing's going forward, nothing's happening, and other people look and they're like, hey, God's taking you forward. God's going to use you. He's using you now. And you're like, you're just saying that. But Naomi could see it. Ruth was in the middle of it, but Naomi could see it. And Naomi rejoiced when she heard about that. First reward, as she saw God's hand at work. First of all, Boaz noticed her. Look at chapter 2 and verse 5. Boaz asked the foreman of his harvesters, whose young woman is that? Now listen, she was not working to get noticed, but when you work hard, you will get noticed. Now I'm going to say this, and there are so many people that are so tough and so hard on the current generation right now. And I want to tell you, I believe in the current generation right now. I believe they've got a lot more in them than what a lot of people give them credit. And so don't take this wrong, but can I say this to the younger generation? You've actually got an advantage right now. That it don't take much. There were generations in the past where it seemed like about everybody wanted to work hard, and you really have to work hard to get noticed. But nowadays, in this generation, if you will work hard, you're going to stand head and shoulders above everybody else. When you just want a chance, just an open field to go to, God, I'm just willing to do whatever it is that you'll let me do. I'll teach any class. I'll preach anywhere. I'll take any job. I'll pastor any church. I'll do whatever you ask me to do, God, if you will just give me an opportunity. Now, let me ask you this. In that same line of thinking, can you work without worrying about who is noticing you? Sometimes we realize this, and sometimes everything we do is a performance to try to catch somebody's eye. Can we work faithfully and diligently without worrying about who's noticing us? Matthew chapter 6, verse 3 and 4 says this, "But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." Do we do what we do for the recognition of man, or do we do what we do for the recognition of God? That was her first reward. Boaz noticed her. Second of all, she was allowed to work only in his field. Look then at we're going to look at verse 8 and 22. Look with me, chapter 2, verse 8. "So Boaz said to Ruth, 'My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with my servant girls.'" Now jump down to verse 22. You found a little more of an explanation there. "Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law," this is after Naomi, after Ruth tells Naomi this, she said, "It will be good for you, my daughter, to go with his girls, because in someone else's field, you might be harmed." You see, it was common in that day to go from one field to another as a stranger or a person in need. In fact, that seemed to be the most common thing, that they would come through and then it was time for them to move on to the next field. But Ruth had worked so hard, it became noticed. Look at verses 6 and 7 now. "The foreman replied," this is after Boaz had asked about her, "The foreman replied, 'She is the Moabitess who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters. She went into the field and has worked steadily from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter.'" You see, it was considered a reward, a privilege, to be able to stay in one field. And one of those benefits was protection. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for the protection of the kinsman redeemer. The third reward was this: she got the good stuff. You see, when you read in Leviticus and you read how this goes, the needy were only to get the barley that had been dropped. They were never to get the stalks that had been gathered and bunched by the harvesters. But we find that Boaz gave her special favor. Look at verse 15. "As she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men, 'Even if she gathers among the sheaves, don't embarrass her. Rather, pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up, and don't rebuke her.'" In other words, Boaz tells his hired men, "Don't you say a word if she gets into the good stuff." Normally, it was allowed because there was a system. And if those that were needy were coming and they were pulling from places that they shouldn't, they were in every right to correct them. But Boaz said, "Boys, whatever she gets is hers." And then he said, not only that, he said, "You make sure when you see her behind you, drop some good stuff." Aren't you glad that God is dropping some good stuff? I could preach on. I know I'm out of time. Aren't you glad that God is dropping some good stuff for you along the way? Not only that, she ate lunch with the hired hands. Verse 14, "At mealtime, Boaz said to her, 'Come over here, have some bread and dip it in the wine vinegar.' When she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain. She ate all she wanted and had some left over. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I think there was a twofold thing here. This is February, the month of love. I'm just going to be honest with you. I have to think that old Ruth was probably not a bad-looking lady. If y'all want to be too spiritual for that, that's okay. But I have to believe that Ruth was probably a pretty good-looking lady. But it wasn't just her looks. Can I tell you this? And this is, I sure don't have time to go into this. You read Song of Solomon. You read about the bride of Christ, how Jesus as the groom is attracted to us. Can I tell you, you're beautiful to God. I don't know if anybody's ever told you that or not. You are beautiful to the Lord. And just as Boaz was attracted to Ruth, God Almighty is attracted to you. He loves us. We love him. Why? Because he first loved us. God is blessing us. Be faithful, and it will bring blessings and rewards in your life. And don't ever look down on the small things for yourself or anyone else. Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 10 says this: who dares despise the day of small things? See, don't ever, 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 ever think that you've arrived. Don't ever feel like you've reached a pinnacle in your spiritual walk, in your life, in your career. Don't ever think that you have reached this zenith and this pinnacle, because if you have, you have. And that's as far as you're going to get. But when we stay humble and realize where God has brought us from, that we continue to work hard and serve him, and God will in return reward us and bless us. You know, we've got to make sure that we are not looking down. Don't despise where you've been. Don't be ashamed of where you've been. Don't be ashamed of your small beginnings, of your humble beginnings. And don't ever be ashamed of somebody that's there right now. Pray for them. Bless them. Hey, and you might be the one that is the key to helping them to that next place. I gotta quit. Stand with me if you will, please. There's so much, so deep, rich things here I could keep on, but I gotta stop. Please don't stop being faithful. Please don't stop being humble. And God won't stop rewarding you. Humility was rewarded. Ruth did not know. She did not know that she was walking into the field of the kinsman redeemer. She just knew that something had to be done, and she was going to put her nose to the grindstone and work hard. Will you and I be faithful? Will we say, God, whatever's got to be done, I'm willing to work hard. I'm willing to be faithful. I'm willing to do whatever's got to be done until the day that you reward me and open the right door for me.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. To find out more about us, follow us on social media at StarkvilleCOG. Special thanks to those who generously support this ministry. If you would like to give, visit us at StarkvilleCOG.com/give. And if you've enjoyed the podcast, please subscribe. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next week.